I don't know how I did that. I muted it. I kept messing with it because it wasn't sitting right. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. If you don't have Him as your Savior, you have no idea what that really means. If you would grab your Bibles, Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37, and we'll read a few verses here in verse number 1. Genesis 37, verse 1, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." Opening, we get, this is kind of the opening of who Joseph is. And who he is in the Bible. Now, Joseph is believed to be, and I believe it, the greatest type of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament. There's over 150 types that you can find throughout the life of Joseph that points you to the life of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how those things line up so easily and so simply. You get into all sorts of the stories. Here he is, and he's hated by his brethren and loved of his father. That'd be Jesus, loved of the Father, and then the Father sends him, and the world hated him. And they hate him, and they hate him, and they hated him so much they killed him. And they would have killed Joseph, but all they could do was put him in a pit. Reuben wouldn't let him, and so instead they sell him. They betray him for some silver. Sound familiar? Right? I mean, it lines up and lines up and lines up some more. They lie about him so that he has to be imprisoned. Right? That's Jesus. They make up the charges and they lie about him so that they go ahead and put him in prison. They go ahead you know what you find? You find that he ends up being ultimately second to the most powerful ruler in the world, Pharaoh. Well, Jesus Christ is the second part of the Godhead. And there he is, and he gets all of the rights and privileges that go along with it. Anyways, but you can look at the life of Joseph. You can just see it. I mean, those are just a few easy, nice and simple looking things. But here he was given something. His father gave him this coat of many colors. And that coat of many colors represented some things in Joseph's life. But you know, you find that Joseph wears three different suits in the Bible. Three different sets of clothes. That's what you find him in. I thought that was just kind of strange. And so we're going to look at Joseph's three suits this morning. And maybe see what that has to do with Jesus Christ and then what that has to do with us. And so let's have a word of prayer and let's look at the life of Joseph a little bit. Father, I thank you so much for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that He is a wonderful Savior to me. And Father, I pray if someone here this morning does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. They would call upon Him alone and they'd have forgiveness of their sins forever and they'd realize their need and they'd call and they'd get it. And Father, I pray that you would bless the service now. I pray the Word of God would have free course, that you would work in our hearts and our minds. Father, I pray we'd make some changes, Lord, that you would want us to make. And Father, I pray that we would be able to praise and glorify our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, today. Lord, we love you and we pray you'd come back soon to take us home. We pray even today we'd get to leave and go step off and see our Savior. We love you and we pray once again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here he gets handed this coat of many colors from his father. Joseph's particular. He is the father's favorite. He is the son of his old age. He's been given this coat to represent, ultimately to represent the family. This is all about the family right here. It's all about, you know, ultimately Joseph is and his position within the family and what ultimately Jacob feels about Joseph, and it shows off, it showcases the love of the father for the son. And we look at this passage right here, and we find that it is ultimately the source of blessing, because it's from the father. It's a blessing to him, but ultimately it's a cursing to him. His brothers hate him because they find this coat. They find him, he gets this coat, and we don't like that he has it. We don't like that he's got favor that we don't have. And we don't like that he gets this special coat right here. We don't like that God, that he loves them. You keep reading in the passage, verse 5, and he dreamed a dream. Now you know what that dream is, right? You know, the sheaves come in and they all bow to him. And ultimately it's his brothers and his mom and his dad are all supposed to bow to Joseph. And they hate him more because of his dreams. They're like, who is this guy think he is? That is not how this works, right? We know this story. We know how this goes. They get so mad at Joseph and they are so envious of Joseph and they are so angry with him that they go ahead and when he starts coming and Jacob sends him to go and see his brethren and how they're doing, when he gets out there, their answer is, let's kill him. Whoa. You keep reading chapter 37, that's before the end of the chapter, they're ready to kill him. Verse 11, they envied him. You get down all the way down to verse number 19. The dreamer's coming. Verse 20, come now therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit. We'll say some evil beast hath devoured him. Wow. Now you think we're going to bow to you? I'm going to throw you in a pit. Forget that. I'm going to kill you, throw you in a pit. Ain't nobody bowing to you. This coat, he's wearing this coat, he's walking out, they can see him. Oh, here comes that dreamer, here he is. He thinks he's so special. We'll show him. Jealousy, envy, hatred, anger, ready to kill him. Reuben saves him. Verse 21, let us not kill him. Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, this that is in the wilderness. Lay no hand upon him, and that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Reuben's the only one standing there going, I just don't want dad mad at me. Now notice, Reuben's not in it because he wants to save Joseph. He just does not want dad to be upset about the matter. Well, I got to get him back home to dad because dad's going to be a mess if we don't get Joseph back. He's his favorite. We're going to be in trouble. He's not looking to save Joseph because he liked Joseph. He's looking to save Joseph because he doesn't want dad upset. That's the deal. And so he said, well, let's just put him in a pit. And you know what happens? They throw him in the pit. They're waiting around. All of a sudden, these Ishmaelites come by and they say, well, let's go ahead and sell him to the Ishmaelites. And they get 20 pieces of silver for him. They came up a little cheap, didn't they? Even Jesus got 30 pieces of silver. And he didn't even get full price when they paid for Jesus. Joseph only went for 20. And they sell Joseph for 20 pieces of silver, and he goes off with the Ishmaelites. But before he goes, you know what they do? They strip that coat of many colors off him. They pull that off of him. You know what they say? You can't take that with you. They strip that off of him and they dip it in blood, some beast's blood that they got. They go ahead and dip it in there and they take it back to their dad and they say, Dad, we don't know. We found this coat. Does that look familiar? They know that looked familiar. They knew when they got that coat back that Jacob would know exactly what that coat was. And he'd look at that coat and he'd understand, my son's dead. So what's this got to do with anything? Well, you think about Jesus Christ, first of all, Jesus had a vesture that he had. He got to the crucifixion, and it was woven from the top and throughout. And they didn't tear that up and part it. They said, no, let's cast lots and go ahead and see who gets it. Who gets the vesture? Who gets that overcoat that looks so nice? And they stripped it from Jesus. You know what you find? It's all about the family at this particular moment. You know, your lineage and your upbringing, your natural family, where you are naturally, who you grew up with, and all those things. You know, that all plays a part in who you are. you were raised in a home, the things that you had and the things that were given to you in that home tend to stay with you and all around you. The blessings and the cursings, whatever your family was, it was all there. You can try and go ahead and go, well, none of that matters and none of that affected me and I'm perfectly fine and I've grown past that. And you may have grown past some of those things, but that stuff is always going to be there. The family that you grew up in is still an influence to who you are. And it doesn't matter if somebody reaches over and grabs the garment and rips it off of you. That coat can get ripped off, but you know what you find? He's still Joseph. That's who he is. We haven't eliminated who Joseph is. All you've done is disguise who Joseph is from everybody else and make his father think he's dead. You didn't change anything that Joseph had going on. Joseph is still in line to follow up on this dream that he had. There's no change. You know what they can do? They can strip the vesture off of the Son of God, but they didn't change who Jesus was. People can go ahead and they can tear down everything about you and they can go ahead and destroy everything they possibly can. They can try and steal a reputation and they can try to steal your name. They can try to steal everything about you, but you know what you find? You're either you or you're not. The vesture doesn't make the man. You realize I came in, I'm dressed in my suit, I think. Dressed all right. Urias, he snazzed up today. He wanted the shirt and tie today, so he is. Elijah, he was wearing a bow tie earlier. I don't know if he's still got it on or not. Probably gone, I don't know. Might be eating it for all I know. Some of you look pretty good this morning, right? We cleaned up, we came to church, we're at church. We clean up, we come to church, here we are. You know what? This doesn't make me any better than you. The vesture right here, this coat right here, it doesn't make me any better. It makes me warmer. Doesn't make me any better. Whether I have this on or not, now, if I didn't wear it, some people would go, well, he's a pretty wicked kind of preacher. I mean, why didn't he wear a suit today, you know? Somebody might look down on that and go, well, you know, he's just not dressed up for the occasion. He's not good enough. And why should I listen to him? I mean, he doesn't even have a coat on. But that doesn't make me anything. What's the problem? You can dress it up the way you want to, but guess what? You're still who you are.
Right.
You've still got a past. You've still got a present. Right. And you've still got a future.
Amen.
We try to erase our past sometimes. We live in a world today where it's cancel culture. Just if you don't like them, just cancel them. Just don't let them have any. It doesn't work that way. Do what you want, but it doesn't work that way. You can't erase history and act as if it never happened. Your family past is there. And whether they threw you in a pit and stripped you of your coat made no difference. You're still there. No matter what the past hurts are, no matter what the past failures are, no matter what all the things are, you can look around and you can say, well, all those things, and you can try and bottle them all up. But we all know better than to go, well, if I just bottle it all up, nobody will ever know. Because you know. And God knows. And you can sit there all day long and go, well, it doesn't matter, but eventually that coat gets ripped off. And what's beneath will be revealed. You know what's amazing about Joseph? What's amazing about Joseph is what's amazing about Jesus Christ. They stripped the vesture off. And he still doesn't change. As first song we sang, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Well, he just doesn't change. And you can rip off whatever coat you want to. But the truth is, you are what you are. Now, I hope you're growing and I hope you're changing, and we'll get to that here in a moment. But to think that, well, I don't have to deal with anything. You realize anger is in my past. That's part of my family. Any of you who knew my dad? Any of you who have met my mom? She's violent. If you've been here any length of time, she's probably punched you, right, Bo? Don't tell me she hadn't. She's violent. Anger. Well, I can go ahead and I can ignore that idea. But that doesn't change that it's there. And it doesn't change that it's something that I've got to deal with and I must have victory over, or otherwise I'm going to be an angry man. That's who I'm going to be. Some of you grew up in addictions and homes where drinking and smoking and drugs and all sorts of weird things were going on, and all sorts of other sin and all sorts of whatever that sin was in your house, you grew up with that and you understood. And some of it was, I'm never going to be like that, but it's still in that back. It's still back there. And if you can go ahead and try to rip that coat off and say, I'm not part of that family, and you can rip it off yourself and throw it back and go, I don't want to be a part of this, and that didn't change anything. It didn't change that it is still there. It doesn't hide the past. You still will have to deal with your past. You will still have to deal with the fact that that is the way that you were brought up. And so if you do not consciously make a change, we'll talk about this in a minute, if you don't consciously decide to change, you will repeat. His brothers can go ahead and say, Joseph, we're getting rid of this dreamer. Let's strip him of his coat. Let's strip him of that thing. Let's go ahead and get rid of him. And he's not part of us, and we can forget about him, and we can never deal with him. But you and I both know that the brothers have to deal with him eventually. You know what the world says? We stripped him of his vesture. We don't need to deal with Jesus. Eventually, they'll deal with him. We'll get there too. Look over at chapter 39. Excuse me, chapter 39. That first coat was that family, that upbringing, that coat of many colors is so awesome looking. It was such a blessing at first, and then it turns into a cursing. He's stripped of it, removed. He gets sold, and we all know how it goes, right? You start off the chapter here. We won't read all of this, but right, verse number 1 here of chapter 39. You can read the whole chapter again if you want to, but he comes in and Potiphar gets him. An officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. And Joseph comes in, and when Joseph comes in, you know how he goes, right? I hope I don't have to do all of the pieces of all of the stories, right? He comes in and He gets blessed because God's going to bless Joseph. And so since God's promised to bless Joseph, he goes ahead and he says, okay, yeah, we're going to go ahead and put things into your hand. Potiphar just keeps giving more and more responsibility to Joseph, right? Joseph rises through the ranks of the servants within the house. And he ultimately is everything that Potiphar has is under the hand of Joseph. Joseph has control of all the money. He has control of all the cattle. He's got control of all the food. He's got control of everything, anything, and all of it. He's got all the servants working the way they're supposed to. He's got it all under control. Everything is given to Joseph. If you ask Potiphar, hey, what are you spending on this? He'd go, I don't know, Joseph, what am I spending on? He doesn't know what the bills are. He doesn't pay any attention anymore. Why? Because Joseph's got it. Joseph's got it all under control. And you know what happens. Verse 7, the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there with him. And she caught him by his garment. There he is. Saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, and of course, what does he do? Well, he's mad, and so he throws him in prison. And you've got right here, you had the son's coat that he was given as the son of Jacob. And now you're given the servant's garments, the servant's coat. He's handed over, and he's dressed as the servant. That's what he is. He's a servant to Potiphar. He's handed that. He's handed the work. He's handed the job. He's handed the task. And you know what? Potiphar's wife grabs that garment. So what comes from that garment? Lies and deceit. Lies and deceit. Say, what's she trying to do? Isn't she trying to lie and steal and cheat and do whatever she can do? This is all about deceptions and failures and all the things. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to lie all about him. You ever had anybody lie about you? And they think they've got you because they've got the garment. Notice this gets ripped off of Joseph as well. The coat of many colors gets stripped from him, and the servant's garment gets stripped from him. Jesus Christ at Calvary. There he is. They parted my garments among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. Say, what did he get stripped of? His garments. The garments of a servant. Wasn't Jesus Christ servant of all? Wasn't he the servant of God Almighty? He is the one who came, and he came to serve, and he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Didn't that end with them stripping him of his garments because of the lies that were told about him? Then he left hanging naked on a cross to die for your sins and for mine. Why? Because they lied about him. And they stripped him. You know, somebody telling lies and spinning tales, talking bad about you. You know what it is? There's a trust issue. It's hard to trust people when people lie about you. That's why gossip needs to slow up. You know why I don't like gossip? Because it's usually lies. It's just a little bit of truth with a whole lot of lie. So why do you say it that way? I'm telling the truth. No, you're telling the truth as you know it. Just a quick question. Who's the first person in the Bible to tell some truth with a whole lot of lie? He was a liar from the beginning. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a liar and the father of it. His name's the devil. There's a reason he writes chapters about the tongue as an unruly evil. And it setteth on fire the course of hell. Because it's a little member. But what a great matter a little fire kindleth. How many times do you strip somebody else of their garments because you can't keep your mouth shut? Lies and deceit. Well, I know it's true because so-and-so... Why are you letting them tell you? Why is it all about what you know? By the way, why do you have to know? You get to be the pastor of a church, and you know what you find? You don't want to know half the time. You're stuck knowing, and you're like, I wish I didn't know. Can I go back an hour and not know? Nope. And you deal with it. And you try and deal with it. And you try and deal with things the best way you can. You try to use the Bible and try and open up the pages and try to get them to see, try to get things right, try to fix. You know what you find? You find this. People are always going to be deceitful. But it ought not so to be you. It's strange, Joseph gets lied about and they strip him of his garment, but wasn't Jacob the supplanter? Wasn't he the one that was the liar? Joseph wasn't the liar, but his dad was. Gentlemen, I will say this. You may want to be careful with how your mouth runs. I know we talk about the ladies. Gentlemen, you better be careful how your mouth runs. Say why? Because your sons might pay for it. You know the thing that scares me more? And more as I grow and more as I learn, and the thing that scares me more is that oftentimes it is not me that will reap the results of my failures, but it will be my children. Scary reality is, if you don't want to be honest, which, by the way, a Christian's supposed to be honest. In fact, you're commanded to do all things honest in the sight of all men. But for some reason, we're really good at tearing people's clothes off and trying to expose them. Isn't that what we call it? I'm going to expose you for who you are. I get nervous when people say things like that, because most of the time, that means they're going to lie about it. Because they're so intent on what they're about to do that they don't know what they're about to do. They have no clue what they're about to say or do. And now they'll say anything to get anybody to believe what they need to believe. I'm not going to get into politics, but that's what you're seeing right now. Everywhere. I'm not talking one side of an aisle or another. Everybody, it's just blast away, and if we can blast away, we'll strip them down and expose all of their... I'm all for truth. I'm all for the truth. And the problem is, you and I live in a day and age where it's awful hard to figure out what the truth is. There's so many lies and so many twists and so many turns that all it does is create problems. Truth clears up problems. I get real frustrated when you get half of a truth. There's a reason when you stand in front of a judge and a jury, it's supposed to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The sad truth is that you and I have probably stripped down too many people that didn't deserve us lying. And our lies have caused all those problems. So yeah, but I was doing the right thing. Okay. You really think that the religious leaders of his day thought Jesus was as awful as they thought he was? Do you think the crowd, as they stood there and cried, "Crucify him, crucify him," you think they were just making it up because they were on board with this idea of, well, we don't really, I mean, or did they get lied to enough they believed the lies? And so they strip him of his garments. How quickly lies seem to dismantle you and I. Jesus is stripped of his garments. Maybe you've been stripped of your garments before because of lies. Made you feel vulnerable and alone. Boy, I'd hate to do that to somebody else. Genesis chapter 41. Genesis 41, now we've moved ahead a little bit, right? Joseph got thrown into prison there with Potiphar. And I'm only half convinced Potiphar was as mad as most of us would be. I wonder if he knew his wife's indiscretions, maybe. Because Joseph probably should be dead right now. He shouldn't be sitting in a prison cell. So I don't know. I can't prove any of that. It does say he's wroth, he's angry. So he puts Joseph in prison. Joseph gets favor again, right? Now he's in charge of the prison, basically. They hand everything over to Joseph. They're like, "Now you got this, you're trustworthy." He goes ahead and interprets some dreams for a couple of these fellows, and he is forgotten still in the prison. He's left down there in the prison, and then all of a sudden, Pharaoh has a couple dreams he can't quite figure out. And he's like, "Man, can anybody tell me about these dreams?" And someone finally says, "Oh yeah." Verse 9, the butler. "Oh yeah, I do remember. I do remember. There's this guy, Joseph. I remember him. He can tell you anything about any dream, anytime, anywhere. This guy's amazing. That you forgot about him for like 2 years. Okay, all right, okay." But they call Joseph in, right? And he calls Joseph in verse 14. They get him out of the dungeon, gets himself cleaned up, interprets the dream, out he comes. And he says all the way down to verse, let's jump down to verse 37. He tells him the interpretation, right? 7 years of good, 7 years of famine. You got to put it all in the storehouse. You got to set everything all up so that we could survive this thing. And verse 37, "And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this man?" This is a man in whom the Spirit of God is. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, Bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Man, that's a whew. He just went from the prison cell, get cleaned up quick, stand in front of the Pharaoh, tell him his dream. Okay, never mind. I'm going to go ahead and put everything I've got on you. He's got a sovereign coat going on him now. It's the reigning, the power, the might, the greatness. He walks over and he says, "I've got this fine linen vesture for you, sir. Let's go ahead and put that on. And let's put the ring on him. And let's go ahead and make him great. Let's do that. That's what we're going to do." You see, isn't that Jesus Christ in the future? You see him in Revelation chapter 1. You see him back there in Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration. You see him there, and you know what he's in? He's in some fine linen. He's clothed just the way he needs to be clothed as the God of all the universe. He's ready to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. He is standing there triumphant. That's who he is. Right. You realize that's what he's been given. He's been handed ultimately the linen of Pharaoh, the king of the known world. The most powerful king on the planet of his day is Pharaoh, and he is sitting there and he looks over at Joseph and says, "You're number two to me." Woo! Nobody can even lift up a foot or put it down without you saying so. That's power, right? I don't know of more power than that. Nobody can flinch without you telling them they can. Simon says. That's what they're playing for the rest of the time Joseph's in charge, is Joseph says. And if Joseph says it, you better do it. Because if you don't, you're dead. That's all there is to it. Done. That is the power Joseph wields in a moment. He goes from a prison cell to literally the second in all the land of Egypt, with nobody having any more say in the country than Pharaoh. That's it. It is Pharaoh is the only person who can overrule Joseph. That is immense power. Immense. Now you and I have been given a different position. But when you and I got saved, you know what God has to do? The day we got saved, you know what we forget about? That first birth. The son's coat, well, that can come off. You say, why? Because I don't have to deal with you as your old person. Now we're getting to the good stuff right here. I'm excited. He goes, I don't have to worry about the old stuff. You don't have to worry about the old family because I'm going to give you a new family. You don't have to, those old family ties, yeah, they're there. And we don't totally strip them away. We can't totally get rid of them. But boy, I got a new family for you, so you don't have to worry about being linked to that old family and needing them all the time. I'll give you a new family that you can go ahead and rely upon. I'll give you a Savior who will be like a father unto, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'll go ahead, I'll fix that. You may have some ties back there, and you might have to deal with some things from your past, and you might need some victories over some past sins, and you might have some need some victories over some of your family's sins, and not having the same mindset, not having a generational problem of all those sins that keep creeping in and keep going, and you might have some struggles that way, but all things are become new if I come in. He hands you that new coat, and you know what you get? The righteousness of the saints is fine linen, white and clean. You know what Joseph got? Fine linen, white and clean. Here he is. And he puts that thing on, and you know what you got the day you got saved? Fine linen, white and clean. You trusted Christ, you know what you get? You get all the sins washed away. The past mistakes and the past failures and the lies and the deceitfulness and all the things that went into those other vestures, those other coats that you used to have on, those coats that everybody would try and strip off and try to make you look bad, all those coats that try to rip away all the things that you want to be and all the things that you possibly could, that the devil would look at you and say, well, you know, he does this and she does that and they can't handle it and you can't have this and you can't have that because it's all in your past. Lord says, just set those two coats aside. I got better clothes for you. Amen. I got a better life for you. You don't have to live in a pit, and you don't have to go ahead and deal with those hateful, angry, jealous, awful, terrible people who look at you and go, well, you just think you're better than me. Instead, you can go ahead and not have to worry about the lies and the deceit. You just trust that God's got everything under control. You know, the only clothes that don't get stripped from Joseph are the royal robes that he was given from by Pharaoh. Think about this. Joseph was stripped of his coat of many colors. He never gets that back. It was dipped in blood, and maybe Dad hung on to it, but Joseph doesn't need that back. The garments that he got when he was a servant that got stripped off of it, he doesn't want that back. He doesn't need any of those things. He doesn't need his past. Because all of his past was lining him up to go ahead and pick up those fine linen and pick those up from Pharaoh and say, look at what I got right here. You talk about a deal. I just went from being the most hated brother to my brothers are bowing before me, fulfilling what God told me I would be. You know, it's not about anybody else bowing to you. It is very, very much about being what God wanted you to be. Joseph's all about getting all the way to the place where God had for him. Brother Peacock preaches a fantastic message we got to hear, and he preached on he's just on his way to the palace. Joseph, he's just on his way to the palace. Well, yeah, but he's in a pit. Yeah, but he's on his way to the palace. Yeah, but he's sold into slavery. Yeah, but he's on his way to the palace. Well, yeah, but he's a servant and they lied about him. Yeah, but he's on his way to the palace. Yeah, but he's put in prison. Yeah, but he's on his way to the palace. Yeah, but he got forgotten by those guys who were supposed to get him back out. Yeah, but he's just on his way to the palace. It's okay. Christian, you got some fine linen? White and clean. Well, yeah, but what about my past? You said I don't have all, the past is still there and you can't fully be stripped of all these. Absolutely. Right up until you put on a new vesture. Amen. And suddenly the new vesture becomes all the difference. Your family, the ties of your sin from your past, your family's sins, the problems and the troubles and the thing. So many of you in this room don't live the life that your family lived. The day that you got saved, God changed everything. He put on a new coat and he put on those royal robes and he said, you're my kid now. You're my family. So yeah, but people lie about me. He looks at you and you know what he says? Yeah, they lied about me too. Don't worry. The truth will come out eventually. You don't have to worry about the lies. You say, why? Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Well, they think that I'm... Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The world's going to criticize you. People are going to lie about you. People are going to be deceitful. That is what they do, and that is a constant for them. And God stands there and goes, don't worry, I've always got the truth. And the truth always comes to light. It may take a little bit. It may take a couple years. But the truth always comes out. The truth is always the thing that gets uncovered. Because God's promise is, if you confess it and forsake it, I'll cover it. But if you don't, I'll go ahead and uncover it. I'll reveal. And the truth will be out. And everybody will know. And eventually everybody will know. Wouldn't it be better if you were just in that fine linen? Just living a life where, you know, the past is the past. And Jesus Christ has made me a wonderful future. Looking forward to a day when I know we're in whatever we got right here. But one day a trumpet will sound. You and I will step off into eternity. And the army that follows him is clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Amen. The righteousness of the saints. I got to say this. And if you didn't think of this passage, I'm more amazed if you didn't think of the passage. The prodigal son, right? I mean, you heard that phrase with Pharaoh, right? He grabs the fine linen, the vesture of fine linen. He puts the ring on his finger like he does all of that, right? Isn't that immediately, doesn't that make you just go, Father? Father with the prodigal. The prodigal comes back and he's going to repent and he's going to fix it. And go ahead and get the ring and get the robe and bring it down. And my son was dead and he's alive and he's come home and kill the fatted calf. We're having a party. Let's do this. My son was dead and now he's alive and here he is. Christian, I want to tell you this before I'm done. You can go back to those old coats if you want them. If you want to go ahead and be just like your family, if you want to go back to your past and have all the failures and all the problems and all the things, you can go ahead and put that robe back on. You know what you'll be? You can have that coat of many colors that is stained with blood and failure and lies and deceit. You can go ahead and go back under that garment of a servant. You can go back to being a servant of the world and doing what they wanted you to do and following, and they'll lie about you no matter how good you are and no matter how perfect you are and no matter how sinless you are. You will end up in a hog pen just like the rest, and you will be there waiting for a day when you can have those clean, fine, white linens put back on. But you never have to go back if you don't want to. You don't have to go back. You know, Joseph, if he chose to, could have set down his royal robes, picked up that coat of many colors, put it right back on and said, okay, I'm going to go back with my family now. No, no, Pharaoh, I don't want those. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to keep the ones that I had before. Well, Pharaoh could have made him. Probably not. Not if he doesn't want it. Thanks, but no thanks. Say, why? I just think he's too great of a picture in this spot right here of God. It's one of the one times you find Pharaoh being a great type of God the Father. And he puts Joseph in the place that he deserves. You know what God's trying to do for you? He's trying to give you the best robes. Trying to give you the best things. So you could be everything he wants you to be. He's trying to make it available for us to serve him the way we ought to serve him. To have the power, the understanding, the wisdom, the might, all of the pieces. He's trying to make it so we can serve him. And he goes, I've got some wonderful fine linen for you if you'd like it. But too many Christians go, yeah, but I've got these on already. Why should I change? Why should I change? Well, it's just how I am. I don't need to change. I love my dad. My dad was abundant in stubbornness. One of his favorite statements was, I'm German, so in case of rain, the war is in the auditorium. Why? Because we're just going to fight over it. No matter what, there's got to be a fight. That's just the way that it was. And you know what his excuse sometimes was? Well, that's just how I am. You know the problem with that statement? And such were some of you. Why should I change? Because that's who you were before Jesus arrived. That's who you were before God grabbed his royal robes and said, I have these wonderful fine linens. Why do you keep going back to the old robes? Why do you keep going back to the ones that he doesn't have for you anymore, that are stripped from you and you don't need? And you don't go ahead and grab the righteousness and the fine linens that goes ahead and goes along with being the son of the king of the universe. We sing that song, I'm a child of the king, a child of the king with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the king. One of my favorite phrases, I've said it repeatedly, was from an old preacher. And he said, I'm tired of Christians begging at the feet of the world. You're a child of God. Act like it. You're a child of God. Why is it that you beg at the feet of a world to try and get their approval and to get all the... Because you're going back to your old stuff. You're putting the old coats back on. God says, I've got the best suit for you. Fine linen, white and clean. You could be righteous. You could be right. You could be doing right. And you don't have to worry about anything else. You don't have to worry about what the family has done before. You don't have to worry about their failures. You don't have to. You go ahead and learn and you protect and you figure out what you need to get out of your life so that you don't have the same mistakes, so you don't accidentally put that coat back on. You learn how to do it God's way in the new family and the new relationship and the way it's supposed to be. You put on the right fine linen, and you know what you'll have? You'll be the servant of a God who will never lie about you. He'll never cheat you. He'll never steal from you. He'll never take from you. He'll never falsely accuse you. He'll never do anything. He'll protect you, and he'll supply, and he'll go ahead, and he'll use and do and all those things. God will be everything that you need if you'd keep those fine white linens on instead of going back. Christian, what coat are you wearing today? Well, you know, I've got part of the fine linen on over here. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And when you try to do that, We have a day at VBS. Every year we have it. Everybody knows what it is, right? Clothing theme is wacky. You wear things that don't go together. You wear all sorts of weird stuff, and you come walking and all the kids come in and they're dressed as weird and as crazy as they possibly can be. And it's wacky. Christian, you want to try and keep putting all three of these on at the same time? You know what you'll be? Wacky. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. It doesn't match. It doesn't go together. The only coat you need, the only thing you need, is that fine linen vesture that the King wants to put on you. If you're in here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's got one waiting for you. If you'd be willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's got fine linen waiting just for you. And He'll make you as one of the King's sons, like David did to Mephibosheth. He'll go ahead and put you at His table forever. Christian, I hope you're not putting on those old coats, those tattered, worn, dingy garments. I hope you're wearing them white and clean. Beautiful, fine linen from your King. Let's go ahead and stand. Maybe you just need to take a moment and think, hey, what coat am I putting on today? You thought about it this morning before you came to church? Oh, what shirt am I going to put on? What tie am I going to wear? What am I going to put on me here? I want to look right today. Well, Christian, I hope you're looking right today. And I don't mean you wore the nice shirt and tie today. I mean, I hope you got some fine linen on today. And I hope it stays that way. I find far too often I try and go back and pick up one of those old garments. The Lord says that doesn't fit right anymore. You don't need that. You don't need to be like that. You don't need to walk in that. You need to put on some fine linen today. Look like a Christian. Walk like a Christian. Talk like a Christian. Dress like you're the Son of God. Father, I do pray you would bless the invitation. Work in our hearts. I thank you so much for those fine linen that you paid the price for so we could have. And I pray your hand would be upon the service and upon the invitation. I don't know if anybody here is lost. I pray if they are, they would come to the Savior. They'd call upon you. They'd pick up that fine linen and they'd realize how great, how wonderful of a Savior you are. Father, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.